Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive. We are positively no longer at home. We're at our home away from home. We're at Fadley's. We're at Lexington Market. I am getting Mark Viviano the Magic 8-Ball Scratch-Offs. We're going to have some new Scratch-Offs next week. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour everywhere. We will be at Costas next week. We're going to be at the Beaumont. We're going to be at Cooper's North. We're going to be at Coco's. But we are here in the epicenter of Baltimore. It is not Oriole pregame just yet, but it is an Oriole game day. I want to remind everybody, Fadley's about three blocks away from long fly ball from Oriole Park, Camden Yards, in the new. They actually picked the whole market up, Viv, and they moved it a block toward Camden Yards to make it a little easier. How
beautiful.
Are you, man?
I'm doing great, and this is my first time in the refurbished Lexington Market.
How is that possible, this first time in here, man?
It's
like you're not in media anymore or something.
I'm not media anymore and happy of it. You dragged me back into this some conversation, which is just fine. But, no, this is beautiful. I go back to, remember during Preakness Week, they used to do the crab races where you would sprint
right out there.
Yeah.
So
we should do it outside.
Okay. So I'm going to give, before we even start, they've asked me to do it, and I'm actually not in town. Gina Schock from the Go-Go's has invited me out to Vegas for their big reunion, and there's a Maryland thing. So they asked me, and I had to decline to do it.
Oh.
So they're looking for washed up media guys, and I'm done, right? So I can't do it.
They said,
do you know any other washed up media guys? And I'm like, maybe Viv would want to do it. So first time, your impression as a St. Louis guy of all the Baltimore you've had, and you and I did Coco's last year, and we'll get to all of our media stuff and all of our sports stuff and all that.
Yeah.
But, like, you love Baltimore. You've made it your home.
Yeah.
It's things like this that make Baltimore awesome. And when people walk in here and see the new Fadley's, it looks just like the old Fadley's. Probably blew your mind 20 minutes ago when you walked in here.
No doubt. I mean, I lived in Federal Hill for 20 years, and when they redid Cross Street Market, I mean, for some, and you know Baltimore as well as anyone, we are, and I'll just call myself we, I've lived here 30 years, we hold on to tradition.
Provincial.
Yeah, provincial is a good word.
Okay, good.
And it bothered some people to see Cross Street Market shiny. It's like, I need it to smell like oysters. I want produce in there.
I need rats,
I want
and
fish,
cockroaches.
All
I need,
that.
I need, right, exactly. I need it to be not modern.
Right.
And there are problems with that. Health problems with that.
Well, there can be, and yes.
Well, old market had things in it that were in the air, in Lexington Market, that just needed to be put away.
Right. To that point, and I think everybody learns to adapt. Heck, Ness, you know this. When the Ravens moved here, there were people who did not embrace them because they weren't the Colts, and they hated the NFL for letting the Colts go away.
Sure.
So let's just say Baltimore, at least certain generations of it, are slow to accept change, even if it's improvement. But that said, this is for generations to come.
Sure.
And they will love this.
I think this is the fourth actual structure there's been for a Lexington Market over 200 years. And that one was built in the 50s, late 40s, after a 1948 fire, I believe. And it's just 75 years. And it wasn't meant for that. It was thrown together very quickly, as I understand it, because when the last market burned down, they had businesses. You know, the Fadley family was selling fish out of the back of a truck across the street, trying to keep their business open when it burned down. So this thing was thoughtful, well thought out. Sturdy and really lovely. I had something, and if Damie were here and I saw her Monday, it would make her mad, but I'm going to tell her this anyway because she'd love it. I have not walked in here in 2 years, and I've done the show in the new place a dozen times, and Luke will be here later. Also, Ron Cassie's going to be here from Baltimore Magazine. I walked in today, and the first time ever, I'm thinking of getting food somewhere else.
Oh.
Because I'm smelling everything.
Yeah.
I walked in, I'm smelling the Indian food. I'm smelling the coffee over here. I'm smelling the Italian. I smell pizza. When I walked in, I smell hot dogs. I smell fried chicken from Parks across the street. And I'm thinking, I had a giant crab cake here on Monday for opening day and
nice.
French fries. I'm going to hook you up as well. But there's a beautiful market here. You can come down here and find something to eat, even if you're shellfish intolerant. You said your kids are picky, right?
Yeah, they're kids.
There's watermelon down there. There's fruit down there. There's hot dogs. There's French fries.
You're talking their
language. Chicken fingers. Mark Viviano is here. He is first things first. What are you doing? I mean, let's talk about your life and your charities and your work and all that you talked about in serving other people and serving your children and your family. I mean,
first and foremost. Yeah.
And I sense you're not even watching a lot of baseball right this
Well, I do because my kids like it. And I still have that in my veins. Grew up in St. Louis, loved baseball. I'm now coaching their baseball teams.
Yeah, that's a really important team.
It really is.
Yeah.
And the number one thing, and I've shared this, and WJZ was great to me. And I'm so grateful for the time I got to spend there. And they offered me a 3-year contract at the end of my last one. And I had to say, the only job I ever wanted, I don't want to do anymore because it keeps me from the things that are now most important in my life, which is my wife, my children, my church, and my community. And the things that I can now do with a schedule that is not 2 p.m. to midnight, where I am locked into having to work for a TV station or a radio station or whatever.
Or the breaking news in our line of work.
So I've removed that 10-hour window from my life, and also the Sundays of Ravens coverage, leaving church as soon as it's over and dashing up to the stadium to do a pregame show or to the studio to do a pregame show. That's gone. What I'm doing is spending time with my children, spending time with my wife. You'll never get the time back. You don't get the time back if you say, I got to go do this. I'll catch up with you later. Next thing you know, your kid's 17 and you don't want to hang out with
him. How old now? 11?
Nine and 7 years old.
Nine and seven.
I came to the game late as a father, but so be it. God gives you life, not a schedule.
Maybe that's got to be a blessing to be an older parent some degree, right?
It's awesome.
Different perspective than me being 15 as an example.
Yeah, well.
Correct.
Again. You get life, you don't get a schedule. Things are what they become, and you adapt, and you say there's a reason for this, and I accept that. So being with my kids, being with my wife, being in my community, and just being able to serve people, whether it's the Helping Up Mission downtown, whether it's Fellowship of Christian Athletes. By the way, May 19th, want to let your listeners know.
Is that the banquet?
That's the banquet.
Martin's West.
No, it's Martin's Mansion.
Okay, they moved.
Cockeysville.
Okay, all right.
And I'm going to be one of the speakers.
Frank Kelly's had me as his guest for
Frank's
that
awesome.
A half dozen times. I've seen Lou Holtz. I've seen John Harbaugh twice. I've seen Ben Watson has done that event. It's
Tony
a great
Dungy.
Event.
Yeah, last year it was James Brown from CBS.
Okay.
Great. So doing some work with them, May 19th. Come on out. Join us for that. Casey Cares.
Yes, hold on. May 19th, that's after Preakness.
It's a Monday.
It's the Monday after Preakness.
Must be.
Well, it must be. Okay, yeah. All right. Okay, good.
I used to be able to tell
hold
you
on,
when
Preakness. Hold on, let me get my calendar
I used to let. I used to be able to know when the Preakness was. I don't know when these things are anymore.
The Preakness is the 17th, Saturday the 17th. And most importantly, no offense to Fellowship of Christian Athletes, but the Crab Races, I think, are on the 15th. It's always a go. 14th or 15th, I got to let you know, but.
Yeah.
And then on the 19th is Monday. So Monday the 19th.
Monday the 19th.
Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
I know you've had the folks from Casey Cares on.
Many times. Casey was up on the front of my website. Is there like 20? Did they do an anniversary?
25th anniversary.
I did see that.
We did the.
Casey Baines Wallenberger on my Facebook. I saw it last week, right?
Yeah. My wife and I are on the advisory board with them. And just she does wonderful work, and you know, when you have children and your children are healthy and you see what
blessing.
Other children and families have to go through, and she's there to help them. So it is another thing. Tuesday mornings I'm always up in the city in Canton, St. Casimir's Parish. We collect lunches to bring to Helping Up Mission and Beans and Bread.
It's Tuesday mornings. Okay.
And we get about 700 to 1,000 lunches. And they are distributed at those facilities. And this started during the pandemic when they had to shut down a lot of the drop-in services. They couldn't do them anymore. So one of the parishioners at St. Casimir, Pam Protani, said, well, how about if we make lunches and they can just come take them? And they said, we'll do that. So that's grown into a ministry that's now going on 5 years. And we've served hundreds of thousands of these.
So much of that goes on in this city. Our daily bread. I mean, every time Rogers comes on, he talks about that. And there's just good things happening here, and you've rolled your sleeves up, dude.
Right. It's what I want to do.
I know it's what you want to do.
This is what I want to do. This is the meaningful stuff. No more standing around in locker rooms hoping a guy is going to give me, 5 minutes.
I don't stand around in locker rooms either
anymore.
That's
right. And I'm not downplaying it. I'm saying I got to do it, but I don't do it anymore. And when I'm asked, do you miss it? It's no. If I were doing it again, then I'd be missing the important stuff.
Right.
My children and these opportunities to serve. And I'm exactly where I should be, Ness. And it's
well, you always tell me I'm where I'm supposed to be, too. So I appreciate that you are as well. Because people don't even – there's only second public conversation, I think third we've ever had, because you called in when you worked at CNN, apparently, and I don't remember it, on the national show. But, like, there is a point over the weekend – and, you know, Luke has all of those things. Luke is a deacon in his church in Pennsylvania. Luke will be here later, and you guys can crosstalk and have at it. But he and I, over the weekend, I went up to Buffalo, and you know the Mark Viviano, former sports guy, reformed sports guy. Andrew's dropped the ball. Are you familiar with these two kids in Buffalo that did a GoFundMe for diabetes? After Andrew's dropped the ball, obviously the Barstool crowd kicks in, and he's this and he's that and all that. And then he stiffed the media, which I don't recommend afterward. I didn't think that was cool. I'm a big accountability guy. But at some point in the aftermath, two young men that were Canisius College students started a GoFundMe, and it got going amongst their fan base, the Bills Mafia and the Ravens. $150,000 they've raised, right? So I'm up in Buffalo over the weekend, and I've been back and forth with these two kids who did the show. So the two kids do the show. This is an amazing story because I learned this on Saturday. Two kids do the show. They don't tell anybody. They don't tell their parents. The university got wind of it, and the university is the one that set up the interview with me. The university communications, like, we have these two students doing this lovely thing in Baltimore. Do you want them on? And they did one television station in Buffalo, and their parents got wind of it. They didn't even tell their parents. These are college guys, right? So, and this is where the story gets a little stiff for me, so I'm hoping I can tell it the right way. 3 days later, I get this email from this dude in Buffalo. He said, you had my son on. My son's had this health challenge, this thing. He's had 33 surgeries. He's had two kidney transplants. Like, on and on. This is the kid I had on the show who clearly had some physical issues, you know, during the show. But all he talked about was wanting to be a journalist. He wants to be you, wants to be me, right? Works at ESPN part-time in Buffalo and this and that and radio and whatever. So his dad writes me this letter, makes me, I'm sobbing in bed.
Because the kid never told you all this?
No, the kid didn't tell me any of this stuff. I just haven't talked to the kid since he was on the air.
Wow.
The kid doesn't even know I had dinner with his dad last week in Buffalo. So his dad writes me this note. As a father, it freaked me out, right? So I wrote him back. I'm like, we're going to do something. Over the hill, I'll see you. So we book a trip into Toronto to go cover the Orioles because they're opening up there. And I'm thinking, hey, I live more for Luke and for – I'm like you. I'm like, I've been everywhere, man. You know, Luke's never been to Toronto, never been to Canada, never been to Sky Dome. And I'm like, opening day, maybe the Orioles will give me a press credential. Who knows? Mark Shapiro runs the Blue Jays. And I love Toronto, so I took Luke up. But we went through Buffalo, and on Saturday – we had dinner with this fella who's the father of the two kids. And, like, we're trying to put something together because they've done something unbelievable, you know. Like, you talk about helping up and what all these other people do. Every organization, I mean, the Hope Lodge is two blocks away. American Cancer Society comes over and promotes that with me. There's just so many causes out there. But when regular people do things, and you're a regular guy now, a civilian – you see nothing but citizens everywhere trying to lift places and lift people. Mm-hmm. And the Buffalo thing was interesting to me only because I sort of slipped into it because Mark Andrews dropped the ball.
Right.
Right. Mark Andrews doesn't drop a ball. The leukemia, he didn't do it for leukemia. He did it for diabetes. $150,000. And then there's how many humans gave to that fund to get that $150,000. It wasn't a sugar daddy. It was a whole bunch of $1,500 and $20 donations. Everybody participated in that. I want to find some way to celebrate that, you know?
That's awesome. Well, I mean, look at your own evolution in terms of that, what your wife went through and how you turned that into a mission. Like, that matters. When we see the reality of adversity.
And the world.
And when it hits you personally, and you can turn that into, let's do this. That's the calling. And, you know, if you live in Baltimore, just from where I parked my car to I walked over here, it's like, this is beautiful, but we still have people who need. I see them sleeping on the sidewalk. Like,
sure.
I understand that. That's a reality. Let's deal with the reality. Let's help each other, whatever it takes. And let's get away from the politics of it and delve into the humanity of all of it, because that's essentially that's all we are, people. We're all the same. Nobody's better than anybody else. We're all created. And some of us just have a better lot than others. That's all. It's really that simple. So I hear your – I listen to your show.
Well, the power of your celebrity and the power of what you built for 40 years here on Jay-Z and stuff, you're now using that every Tuesday to feed people and keep them alive. I mean, that's just different than hanging on the country club and hitting the golf ball at this point. You know what I mean?
Well,
and nothing wrong with that. And if that's what you're doing,
that's what you're doing.
Okay. But that's not what you want to do.
No, it's not. And I – all I want to do is encourage, and if anything that I do inspires, well, then great.
Come help.
Let's do it. Let's just answer the call of the need of those who are our brothers and sisters. They're everywhere, and we're all the same.
Pick up a shovel, man. Let's go.
We're all the same.
Yeah. Mark Viviano is here. By the way, to be determined, it's what we're having. This guy invites me out. I had the best beef on Weck I've ever had. Best buffalo wings I've ever had. We're watching Nestor Cortez give up torpedo bat home runs in a game on that Saturday. And, you know, the Ravens play up there. Sports for you and the exit for you. I almost did an April Fool's thing yesterday just to say I'm done. And list every reason that would be reasonable why I would be done. Orioles threw me out. Ravens threw me out. They don't need us. This isn't fun. Terps coach left this week, right?
Yeah.
Not only do I get thrown out, the guy that drops the game-winning pass doesn't even show up at the media. Then the Justin Tucker scandal or lack of scandal that isn't even on your former website or WBAL's for the second and third scandal. And then we've got an NFL draft. We've got opening day. We have new ownership. The owner has the bobblehead coming out on April 19th. They have an interesting team with bad pitching. You miss any of this? Because you would be talking about this 5 days a week. You know that, right? You did it for four years.
Yeah, I don't miss having to fully immerse myself and filling my mind with the details of the things you just described. I still have an interest in competition. And to me, essentially, that was my draw to sports. Competition and how human beings prepare themselves to be the best they can be to do this competition.
Well, you ran marathons, though, right?
Yeah.
What was your sport, though? You were a baseball player?
Baseball and basketball were my team sports. And I got into marathon running. But, you know, again, it's everybody's got a story about what got them. And I don't care if it's an NFL football player to a guy who runs a 5K. Everybody's got a story as to what led them to that. And obviously, when we're in the media, I'm more interested in how a guy who grows up in Lakeland, Florida, and is a wrestler is now in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and what Ray Lewis's mind was like. And you saw it.
Well, we were in front of it.
You witnessed it.
Well, we saw Cal Ripken do what he did. You know
Cal
what I mean?
Ripken.
Like seeing Lamar right now, seeing the best of the best, and what makes Brooks Robinson Brooks Robinson, right?
Phenomenal. And I love that part of it. And then it plays out for all to see on the field, the great, highlights and stuff. People have asked me, you know, greatest moment, greatest interview. When Ray Lewis got inducted into the Hall of Fame, I'm up in Canton, Ohio, and people are saying, all right, what was Ray Lewis's greatest moment? You know what it was for me? It was practice in Westminster. And he is practicing back when they used to hit in practice like it's a Super Bowl.
Well, he left in a medevac one day. I was down at Nate's and Leon's doing a show that summer, and we didn't have a tech service back then, so it was like radio, BAL radio. It was 2 in the afternoon in 1997, 98.
Yep.
Somebody tackled him. Kenyon Cotton. Kenyon Cotton was the one
so
he had contact
it's
with.
Stuff like that, like – you're watching this going, man, this is another level of human being. And sure enough, he sustained that for 16 years and as a bronze bust. Another Cal Ripken. So one of the things everybody's, 21-31, all this. I said, yeah, that was cool. Everybody saw that. What I remember most about Cal was after it was the year of 21-31, Phil Regan's the manager. They had spring training at Twin Lakes Park in Sarasota.
Yeah.
New manager walks in. Nobody knows who he is. He was a pitching coach for the Indians at the time, I think, and he was coaching down in Venezuela.
I like Phil a lot, by the way.
And I went to Venezuela to do a story.
You told me Caracas. That's right. Leonis.
So here's a day, spring training, everything. Everybody's done. Everybody's gone. No. Backfield. Cal Ripken, Phil Regan. I'm just walking around. I'm like, what's going on over here? Ripken is taking Regan through how we do the infield. This is how we do this. This is the cutoffs. This is the bunt. It's like, that's a guy who is so locked into the detail. And everything he did, to this day, everything Cal does.
The Ripken way.
It's detail.
Right.
Like, he doesn't mess around. Like, he is locked in. So it's things like that that are more interesting to me than, hey, you get to hang out with these guys. It's like, no, I don't hang out with them. I report on them. I love to ask stories. I love to learn about their process and their motivation. That was the thing that always drove me that made it most interesting to me. And then the games, and then you sit back and you watch the games, and then the competition happens. And the one thing I love, and you know the saying, you go to a baseball game, you might see something you've never seen before. And that's usually the case, and I love that part about it. Football, same thing. Well, they're down by 25. There's no way they're winning. They're going to win this game. It's like stuff like that is fun. Win or lose, I'm not invested in the outcomes. Now, I do say this. People say, are you a Ravens fan? Are you an Orioles fan? Well, for the job that I did, no. But for the city, I hope they do well. Because when they do well, you're happy. And when you're happy, your friends are happy. And the city's happy, and business is better. So I'm all good for that.
I had Terrell Suggs say to me, y'all like to write headlines when we lose. Y'all like when we lose. I went to him, and I'm like, nothing ever good has happened in my life, beginning when the Colts started losing, right, you know, from losing. You know, losing begets losing. And that's the Angelo story for all those years. Nothing good happens when the local teams here don't win.
No, that's true.
I mean, they're only here. They're only effective when they're winning. They have a hard time being effective when they're not winning because there's shame involved in not winning. Yeah. And they don't come out. When they don't win, they don't
there's
come out.
That.
That's
there's
true.
That.
That is. But that's a truth over 40 years of doing this. Mark Viviano is here doing this. We are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're out on the road. We're going to be at Costas next week. We're going to be at Coco's later on in the month. We are in the epicenter of Baltimore. Nancy Devine stares at me. I purposely set up here. And when this place opened last year, Nancy took me over here. She said, you're going to do the show right here, and I want you, every time you see me, I want you to think of me doing this to you. So they're actually honoring Fadley's as part of a 250th anniversary of America. NBC wow. is going to be here filming and honoring them as a great American family, you know, because
wow.
this family's, you know, two centuries of having fish and seafood since 1885 in this market. So
congratulations.
But those are the Baltimore stories, and you're a St. Louis guy that's adopted Baltimore, that's doing great things in Baltimore. What are Baltimore's biggest needs, as you see it, having been on the streets here for a year and delivering things? I mean, you find some grace that some people want to turn the blind eye to, and maybe not want to drive into the city and participate in seeing that.
I think what you just said, and I know this, I lived in the city for 25 years, for family reasons, and I live in Severna Park now. There are a number of people who don't want to come down to the city, whether it's from Baltimore County, whether it's from Anne Arundel County. I understand that. I think it's vital that as much as Baltimore does an outreach to the country, say, come see us, we got to get our own people to say, it's okay to come down here. It's okay to come in here.
I'm down here 3 days a week, and I lived in the heart of the city, too. And it's sort of like people ask me, is it safe down there? I'm like, I walk in and out of Lexington Market freely. It's the second time I've been here in 2-3 days, right? The reputation and stigma that anybody – and it's born of the media. You know this, right? I mean, people believe a bad story quicker than they believe a good story. And that's unfortunate about our city.
Well, what's also – now – there have been some true challenges regarding the statistics and the fear. There's reality-based, but as it gets better, that should equally be known and reported, that it's getting better. This is a beautiful market. This is a beautiful day. There are things you can do. You know, I do notice, I mentioned I lived in Federal Hill for 20 of the 25 years I lived in the city. When I go there in the evenings, there's police everywhere. And that's a good thing because there's a reason for it, but it's also, it's like, why are all these police?
It's an optic, yeah.
Yeah, why are they here? And it's because there has been need, and let's hope that need lessens and that things stabilize to where the fear factor is taken away. So I don't want to say there's not a reason for the fear factor because it's there, but if and as it gets better, that has to be made known. And when you ask me what can Baltimore do, get the people from the county, if you can, to know it's okay. There are some.
Well, that's what changes the reputation. Is I came into the city, had a great meal, saw a show at the Hippodrome, did something at CFG Bank, came and see the Orioles. And this is where my Free the Birds and whatever that happens on the other end, I did free the birds because I lived on the 23rd floor over the city, and I watched the deterioration of me drinking beer with Mike Messina in Balls in 1992 and going to Hooters, which is now in bankruptcy. But doing all of those shows there in the 90s, seeing the city, seeing 3 million people come to the ballpark, seeing that energy is what birthed the Ravens, right? That early Oriole energy, 92, 3, 4, even in the strike, Angelos buying the team, All-Star game, all that was how John Moog went and got the Ravens here, and you reported on that. By the way, if you missed the piece with him at Coco's last year telling the true story of his scoop and Kevin Butler, make sure you go check that out. But I mean, we're 30 years past that, but the sports part of it, for what the Orioles have been, and the Ravens have been great, I mean, but that doesn't really flood the city. Baseball was the lifeblood, and that's why I wrote Free the Birds, why I did Free the Birds, saying you had 80 opportunities down here to make another Monday. Monday was spectacular, Viv, you know what I mean? I don't know if you went or not, or you're still doing the opening day thing. I came down, bought a ticket, started a crab cake here. I went to 7 bars around, in and up the club level. I spent 7 innings in the ballpark. I went out to the deck. I walked the whole stadium. That was 1992 and 3 and 4 and 5, and you know that. You were here, you know? And I don't expect that energy every day, but they should. Well, they should. The Orioles should not say that's not possible. No, that I saw it happen. Don't tell me it's not possible. Now, you're going to tell me the challenges between here and there, but that's what I want for the team. And Luke compares them to your Cardinals all the time. Yeah. You know, what that franchise has been for St. Louis. I'm hoping that these new people can create something here that gets people into the city. Because it's not about baseball or winning or rah-rah-rah or the billionaire. It's his philanthropy in buying the team that builds these businesses, including right here where we have people behind us right now at Fadley's. But 3 hours from now, I want to see Orioles fans in here because it's lunchtime right now.
I think the hard thing for baseball is, and I'm seeing this everywhere, including St. Louis, you do have 81 home games. The games are now so pervasive in terms of availability on television. Every game, you can watch every Orioles game.
They're trying to keep them from you, Viv. You know what I'm saying.
You can talk about the distribution.
Yeah, my boy Mike Broach was up here. He lives in North Carolina. He's like, they won't give me the games. I'm like, they won't what? He's like, I can't get, there's no streaming service. Well, and I'm like, what?
Think about this. You know this. The NFL has gone through and still may be going through a fight to get people in seats because it's so much easier to stay home, and they play once a week. Think about baseball. 81 of these? Other than if they're giving away a bobblehead or a Hawaiian shirt and opening day, and heck, they had 10,000 empty seats for a playoff game here last year.
I know. So I brought that up with Katie Griggs when she refused to meet with me.
It was a day game, correct?
It was a Wednesday afternoon.
It was a day game. So, again.
And they used that as the crutch of, well, it was an afternoon game. If it was a night game, people would have taken off of work. And I'm like, if people cared, they would have been there. It was $10 to get in. Oh, no, yeah. It wasn't a price point. Because a lot of times it was price point oriented. And Viv, when I first started getting, I was their complaint department, right? I mean, that's really where this thing got sideways with Angelos, is people called my radio show 25 years ago to air the grievances and complaints that they weren't hearing on and off the field, in a lot of different ways. And the notion of the city struggling and me seeing less people at Hooters, less people at Phillips, places that are now gone, right? I mean, a generation later, that was my jam on the social responsibility that apparently Rubenstein at least is acknowledging it's his job to get people back into the stadium. I don't think Peter ever acknowledged that. And certainly from a fan standpoint and from a sports guy standpoint, you and I could look at their payroll and see that they really weren't invested in winning. They were invested in getting the games in and selling tickets, right? I mean, especially when the Red Sox and Yankees fans came down and started taking it over. They need to undo a lot of that. And I've met David Rubenstein since the last time you and I spoke. I waited in line at the Beth DeFillo. He spoke night before Trump got elected in November. I waited in line and went up and met him, and I said, those empty seats in the upper deck, that's trauma from the previous ownership. You can fix that. You can fix that. Because I believe there are 10,000 more people that would want to be in those seats if that game was played tomorrow to some degree. At that particular moment, people didn't want to invest in it. And I don't know why that is, but they better figure it out. It's their job to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I'm just taking the temperature out here, Viv, you know, as I see it.
And that's fair. And that's the challenge. And again, I say it's not specific to Baltimore, but it's in a lot of ballparks. It's in Cincinnati. It's in St. Louis. It's in Milwaukee and in Cleveland, similar size cities, that people are just finding it easier to watch it at home. And I get it. Our lives are busier. Our lives are full of different obligations and commitments. And going to a ballpark can now, if bringing your kids is still a joy, because especially the first time, it's like, whoa, Major League Baseball, this is awesome. And I still have that.
Your kids have that big time.
Oh, yeah. So I still have that. But at a certain point, they'll make their own decisions.
Right.
And Major League Baseball, I know you've noticed, is gearing its product and its marketing not to you and me, but to the kids. The runner on second base, so the game doesn't go till midnight.
All of our pitcher handout rules that we had when we were kids, playing pinkies, right? You know,
like, you know, it's a pitch clock. Move this thing along. Let's go. Let's get these games over with. Bigger bases, more steals.
Pitcher has to pitch to three batters. Yeah. Can't have Kevin Hick anymore.
Yeah. They're not doing that for you and me. They're doing it for the kids. They want these kids to fall in love with baseball, which is smart. Which is smart, because what are these kids, what do they know?
They don't have them. They aren't going to have anything.
I know this. When I go to my kids' elementary school, I see more English Premier Soccer jerseys than I see NFL or Major League Baseball jerseys. Who's marketing well? Who's doing a good job there? A sport an ocean away has these kids wearing their jerseys.
Soccer ain't never going to catch on in Baltimore, in this country. Ain't no way, Viv.
However, they
got the World Cup here next year, dude.
However they've done it, somebody study it. Because I'm just telling you, eyeballing as a parent.
It's a beautiful game, soccer. I mean, around the world, soccer is embraced everywhere.
And the kids love it. And I'm not saying they don't like the Orioles and the Ravens, because
they keep running. They keep running in soccer.
They keep moving, that's true.
My dad had me picking daisies out in right field, you know, cold out here, and baseball practice in April. And you're doing all that as a parent, though, right?
Absolutely.
You hitting fungos?
All of it. Throwing bat. I had rotator cuff surgery a year ago this week.
Just so you could throw BP, or because you threw BP?
I was throwing BP for fall baseball. Dr. Amir Moinfar, my guy. He took care of me. No, he was awesome. And I'm living.
They put you back together again.
Put me back.
I can't throw a party right now.
Reattached me, and I'm good. But, yeah, once you get over 60, stuff is just harder to do anyway. But it's all good. No.
You know, because I love you, can I make an admission? Because you're going to laugh like hell. Are you ready? I hurt myself like 2 days ago brushing my hair. I'm not kidding. Mm-hmm. It was like a Fonzie moment. I was brushing my hair, and the brush snapped in half. And I had a pec injury from brushing
peck
my hair.
Injury.
So 56, things are, you know, things are breaking down on me, Viv, you know.
Oh, you're.
I mean, you talk about throwing baseballs or playing tennis or stuff. I couldn't brush my hair over the weekend.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Hot yoga.
But you know what? Welcome.
The notion of me throwing BP, like if Barry has kids tomorrow, and I can't throw a party right now. I mean, I'm not throwing BP.
Need to. You need to do this. You need to do the things you really love.
I'll come and watch your kids play ball. That would be fun.
I don't know how much fun that would be to watch. It's fun.
It's a sloppy game at that age.
It is. It's fun to teach. The reward is getting kids to learn, develop, get a little bit better, see that light go off on their head that, well, what Coach Mark said, if I did this, it actually worked.
Confidence.
Yeah. Confidence, joy. I had two kids in the fall who had never played baseball at any level. By the end of the year, not only were they proficient, but they couldn't wait to play again. And to me, that's the goal. That's what we're working on
here. See, you're like every great parent I have. My dad was a little league coach, so, you know, I feel all of that in every different level at that point. And I love the Bad News Bears and all of that. I just love that baseball still being played by kids because I don't I live in Towson, and I say this to my wife all the time. We'll be out driving around. I mean, I'm talking 6 weeks ago when it's cold as balls. You know, we're out 6 o'clock going to dinner, going over to Cooper's, going out to Dr. Steve, whatever. And I see the lights on, and every one of those fields is lacrosse. Every one of those fields is lacrosse.
Yep.
So the fact that kids still are playing baseball when soccer and lacrosse are 9 out of 10 parents I know have, especially with girls in the mixed bag, soccer and lacrosse are ahead of baseball in the pecking order in a way that they weren't in Colgate in 1978.
Right, but there's something happening. South Baltimore Little League, check them out. They are.
That's down at Ford Avenue.
Ford Avenue.
Okay.
You know who's on the board running that is Matt Blood from the Orioles. And he's really helped develop a program that has kids loving the game, and, like, they're good.
I went down there on an opening day years ago. One of my employees, Casey,
did one
his
of the parade?
Kids were playing. Yeah, I did
the parade is awesome.
I did the parade down there in the beginning. I did a lot of Little League parades years ago for baseball. They don't have Little League parades for lacrosse, do they?
No, they don't.
I don't think they – babe, baseball has such a tradition, you know?
But to your point, I can speak to Anne Arundel County and the Green Hornets in Severna Park in particular. You go down to Severna Park, Anne Arundel County, lacrosse and soccer are huge. Baseball is a giant.
Well, they had a softball community down there. Ever do the story on Jack that taught all the kids how to throw? Jack Crandall was his name back in the 80s and 90s. Well, I was the prep writer at the paper. And everyone told me softball. Mike Faribault was my boss at the time before Sam Harris and all these guys got involved. They told me Anne Arundel County, you're going to see there's a market down there. This is in the late 80s. There was a guy in his backyard teaching girls how to bring heat and get college scholarships now. You know?
That's awesome.
So the Anne Arundel County girls softball thing, the girls were so much better than anyone else in the state.
Yeah.
Like anyone else in the state would play them. They had pitchers, and they could bring the heat. So Anne Arundel County had – and Bernie Walter on the boys' side, right? Yeah. Just an incredible baseball tradition in Anne Arundel County.
Yeah, and Eric Milton is coaching at Severna Park High School now. Oh, yeah. He's
head
coach.
He Terp.
Yeah, Terp and major leaguer.
Twinkie.
So I'm coaching 9-10-year-old – head coach 9-10-year-olds. With lacrosse going on and being as big as it is, with soccer going on, 160 9 and 10 year olds on 13 teams, and that's just Green Hornets. I'm coaching.
I got to come down there. Do you have snowballs?
Oh, yeah.
All right, if you have snow, I'm just asking because I'm thinking Little League, I need snowballs. Mark Viviano is here. He has made the long drive up to the city from Severna Park. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'm going to hang on to Viv. We're going to talk some more about media and about sports and all that good stuff. Luke is going to be coming by a little later on. Also, I will have Ron Cassie from Baltimore Magazine, who also loves sports. It's baseball season. We are at Fadley's. One of the reasons I'm here today is I was thinking, like, it would be cold and gray and awful. And it's not.
No.
It's actually pretty decent.
Good.
Day two. We're a week into the season. We're getting some good weather. And it's about getting people back downtown and supporting not just the Orioles, but all the businesses around here. I saw all sorts of orange in here on opening day. And I want to invite everybody back down to Lexington Market. Come in here. And don't tell Damie, but everything in here smells good. Everything in here smells good when I come in here at lunchtime. Viv's going to hang out. We're hanging out. We're going to talk some. What are we going to talk about next?
You tell me. It's your show. I'm just here.
I don't know. We did charity baseball. Do you want to do football? Did you watch the NFL season? I mean, are you watching sports at all?
Yes. I watched the Terps in the tournament.
But not like three nights a week?
No. Okay. I love baseball, so I'll flip on any game, watch games, watch the Orioles,
so
obviously.
So it's okay. We can talk pitching. We can talk Gunnar Henderson.
Of course.
We can talk Justin Tucker. We can talk Lamar Jackson. We can do all that.
Yeah. Basketball coach leaving Maryland.
He told me he was retired.
This
is like the Godfather here, Viv. You know, I mean, I know you're with the family out there and in the Lou and all that. Say, once you're, I'm bringing you back in.
That's right.
I'm pulling you back in.
That's right. I'm like everybody else with an opinion. Mine's not special.
Well, I want your opinion. So does Baltimore. Former WJZ sports director and fan. You were middays, right? You were 10 to 2? Weren't you 10 to 2 when you did that?
Yeah,
you
back middays. On the day. Yep.
And former CNN and they CNN, had another name.
CNN Sports Illustrated.
Sports Illustrated, yeah. Right, SI. CNN SI. Mark Viviano is making his home here at Severna Park, serving the community in all sorts of ways. Casey Cares, helping up Mission. Who else are you helping up? Your Tuesdays, you're doing your meals. Tell everybody.
That's at St. Casimir Church in Canton. That's where we collect the lunches that we bring to Helping Up and Beans and Bread. And also Fellowship of Christian Athletes. May the 19th is the big event. Go to their website.
Hunt Valley this year.
It's Cockeysville.
Cockeysville?
FCA.
That's what I said. Hunt Valley's Cockeysville.
Hunt Valley?
Hunt Valley and Cockeysville are the same
place. I guess. Not really. I think more of...
Don't get me started on this. Every time I'm in Perry Hall, they tell me I'm in Nottingham.
I know. Or Fullerton.
Or I'm at Costas, and some people tell me I'm in Sparrows Point, and I'm like, nah, that's down the road, you know? So it's a neighborhood city.
Well,
you know,
it's also, don't tell me I'm in Federal Hill if I'm in South Baltimore.
Don't tell me I'm in Butcher's Hill if I'm in Canton.
Don't tell me I'm in Highland Town if I'm in East Baltimore.
No one ever admits to being in Highland Town. It's Canton. It's Upper Canton.
Upper Canton. Oh, yeah.
Viv is here. He's doing good stuff. We're going to talk some sports, all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'm gifting these away. We're going to be doing the Crab Cake Tour in lots of places later on in the month, but no place as fine as our friends here at Fade. We have the best sponsors in the world, and we have the best crab cakes in the world, and I'm going to get Viv a special Fadley's crab cake right now.